is for the way you look at me. O is for the only one I see. V is very, very extraordinary. E is even more than anyone that you adore can love.
Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner, and this is Natalie Cole's birthday, and so we're playing her music. That's Love by Natalie Cole. And speaking of love, well, Love Lost or something, there is a controversy in our state over Common Core curriculum. The Common Core curriculum is being instituted. The questions are raised in the state legislature and other places whether or not testing around Common Core should be put off and other parts of Common Core should be put off. 22 of Maryland's 24 school superintendents from districts educating the majority of our students have asked for more time and resources and to put off the test and to tell the federal government, just wait. So we're talking about, is that the case? What should we do? Why is there such a controversy? We're here with Cheryl Boast, who is vice president of the Maryland State Education Association and an elementary school teacher for more than 20 years. Good to have you in the studio, Cheryl.
Good morning.
And let me pull that mic a little so we can hear you. And there you go. Get your voice right there. Perfect. And Dr. Jack Smith, who is chief academic officer for the Maryland State Department of Education, a longtime Maryland educator and former superintendent in Calvert County, who's been a guest on the show before as well. Jack Smith, welcome. Good to have you back with us.
Thank you very much.
So let's talk a bit about this. And then Cheryl, since the MSEA and 22 out of 24 school superintendents have said, please wait, what's the issue from your perspective? Then we'll hear what Jack has to say.
Well, we've coined the phrase a tsunami of education reform. There are so many moving parts happening right now with the Common Core coming in, MSA still being administered, which is the Maryland State Assessment, and the new test that is aligned to Common Core not due to be out until a year from now. They're field testing it this year. And all of these things at once have hit our classrooms. And teachers, administrators have not had the time to prepare curriculum and get really up to speed so that they can provide the best instructional program for our students. And so what we're asking for is several things. One, to not give the Maryland State Assessment this year because it's not aligned to what we're testing. So it's really a waste of time, and Maryland State Department of Education can ask for a waiver, and they could have asked for a waiver even before now, before the legislature was involved. And we're asking them to slow this down just a little bit so that we can provide the time and resources needed for our educators to come up to speed, learn the standards, develop a quality program, and get our students through this time of transition, and then possibly introduce a test, because students won't have had the background for a few years now to actually do well even when the test is aligned to Common Core.
So Jack Smith, tell me what the position is of the Maryland State Education Association, because it's been interesting. As we talk to people around the state, it's been hard to find people to kind of support the idea that testing should happen now. So I'm talking a bit about the dynamic inside your organization and why.
Well, Maryland State Department of Education is one of the departments of the state government of Maryland, and Maryland is, of course, a state, and it has its laws and its requirements, and those are intertwined with the federal requirements. And certainly there are many reasons why Maryland does or doesn't do something, but one of them is that it is a requirement of the federal government. And we do a lot of things in Maryland that are requirements of the federal government, many of them that the state of Maryland embraces and actually goes beyond what the federal government requires. In this particular case, the MSAs have been administered for about 10 years, and they've been in place under the Federal Elementary and Secondary Education Act, and that act has not gone away. But 2 years ago, Secretary Duncan offered some flexibility in how the accountability for schools works. He has not offered any flexibility for whether or not we have to administer assessments for Maryland or any other state in the nation at this point. And certainly Ms. Boast is correct that you can apply for a waiver of any federal law, but when the department that's responsible for it in Washington, D.C. hasn't offered a waiver and hasn't indicated any flexibility in that area when they've offered flexibility in several other areas, then it's kind of a moot point. But we'd also say that it's critically important to understand that there is some misalignment, particularly in the mathematics, between the MSA and the curriculum that's being implemented. And I would just ask, when doesn't that happen when you change curriculums? When we started the MSA, every state, every county school system in the state changed its curriculum over the course of 3 or 4 years to be more aligned with the Maryland state curriculum. It was called the Maryland Voluntary State Curriculum at that time, to match the MSA. And okay, so that it is a time of transition, absolutely.
So, Cheryl, I mean, so it's, I mean, this is an interesting part of the question. I mean, the bottom line here, and I want to talk about a bottom line that goes outside of whether the federal government tells us we have to do something or what they're saying, is if our schools are not prepared, then should we just say we're going to make sure we're prepared so then what X year that is, 2015, whatever year that is, then we will be prepared? I mean, a lot of schools don't have the technology. Teachers aren't trained in this. This is being pushed very hard by Duncan. But many people around the country are erupting around this. So if we're not prepared, we're not prepared. So that, I mean, unless we are prepared and we just don't know about it, Cheryl?
No, we're not prepared. And as you mentioned, many of our school systems have reported we need over $100 million in technology upgrades and bandwidth just to administer the new test.
Because the test is done on computers.
Online. Now, we'll have the opportunity to do some paper-pencil, but it's not an even equation in making that transition. Curriculum doesn't come out overnight. You have to build the curriculum, test that curriculum, revise it, and then roll it out through professional development. That couldn't happen over the time period that we've had. When you're talking about all reading and language and math standards, that's a huge chunk of what we teach in our schools and affects every subject area through literacy. And where I disagree with Jack in his comments was there in the Washington Post article where the superintendents did come out in opposition to administering the MSA, there was a U.S. Department of Education person quoted saying that they would look at any waiver that came from any state. And what's in our law is that we have to give a test. The Stanford 10 made by Pearson is also a Common Core aligned test. So what we're saying is we don't have to throw the whole test away. Let's make sure that what we're using is aligned to what we're teaching. And the MSA is going to be administered. And when those scores come out, our faith in public education is going to be diminished because of a test score that we already know going into it is going to decrease.
So Jack Smith, one of the things that's occurring right now is that it's rare often in many state legislatures is that across the aisle between Republicans and Democrats, between progressive Democrats, moderate Democrats, between very conservative Republicans, there's this coalition building saying that we have to put this off. We're not prepared to do this. It's not, even though some in that coalition may say we don't want Common Core at all, that may be part of their motivation. The majority of people in that group in the legislature are saying we're not ready. This is the state school systems are not prepared. We need to put it off and do it for the benefit of our students and our schools and our teachers. So what's your response to that? I mean, how will MSDE respond to that?
Well, first of all, I would say that if you read a little further down in that article that Cheryl was referencing, it says that. Clearly, the spokesperson for USD says that they're not inclined to waive laws that Congress has passed. And what I would say about the politicians is that they have the elected right to make the laws that they want to make. And they made these laws in the Education Reform Act of 2010. The federal government made certain laws. They gave certain powers to the USDE and the state board and MSDE. And we follow those laws. But I would not hide behind USDE is making us do this. There is real benefit to Maryland continuing to give an assessment. And I realize that the prediction at this point is that MSA scores are going to drop substantially. I frankly don't know that. They may well. I wouldn't bet money either way at this point because we're still teaching reading and math. Now, there's some misalignment, particularly in math, in grade level placement on subject items and subject topics, what's tested and what's taught, but it's still reading and math. And what it will tell us is if Eastern Elementary and Western Elementary and X school system, if one of those has a student population that's either receiving services like for economically disadvantaged students or for a group of students based on their race or ethnicity like Latino students, if one of those schools is having real high performance this year with that group of students, And another one isn't, but they took the same test, whatever degree of misalignment is there. It still allows the school system to ask the question, what's happening for this group of students with this subject area at this time without consequence? Because one of the agreements that USD has made as we go through this transition is that the accountability system will be frozen if we continue to work with them as they've requested. So the data still has some purpose with no consequence. Nobody gets a failing mark. Nobody gets it applied to their evaluation. Nobody gets
It's an issue of time. Let me let Cheryl Bowes kind of respond because you're shaking your head no.
I'm shaking my head no because this is a test that is testing students on curriculum that we're not teaching. It won't come out. The scores won't come out until the summer after those students leave that grade. So it will be of no use to the teachers who have taught those students who are now completely transitioned into Common Core. So to say it will be useful is totally erroneous.
I'm not talking about
what we could do instead is we could focus Common Core, stay within the federal government regulations, and instead say we're going to work on elementaries these first few years, get the resources, get the time, get the curriculum, and then transition as students move out of elementary school, we'll keep building them up. And that way, by the time you become a ninth grader, you'll have 9 years of Common Core. Our ninth graders this year who are going to take the PARC assessment and the field test will have had 1 year of Common Core underneath their belt. We could have phased this in and still met our federal requirements to do so. And it's just sad that the Maryland State Department of Education is strictly listening to the U.S. Department of Education, and they're not listening to practitioners, parent groups. And now the legislature will have a hand in this. And we don't want Common Core standards to go away. We want the time to get it right and do the best that we can for students.
Well, Cheryl, you and I have been working closely together on a committee to look at the impact of test scores on evaluation, and we have listened very closely to what you have said and all the other stakeholders, because there are many stakeholders in this conversation. And one of those groups of stakeholders are people who are worried about those disparities for children. And while we're, as you say, getting it right and getting it perfect and aligning it, there are still kids going to third grade and fourth grade, and we need to continue to focus on the disparities for different groups of children in the state, for student populations. And if we blink or we pause, then we'll have another set of children go through this state without options and choices for the century they live in. And certainly adults can work together to solve these problems, and you and I both know that we work together closely to solve the problem of the evaluation, and we have a good
We haven't solved those problems yet.
Well, we have a very good plan for this transition time.
Well, let me ask this question. Adam has written, tweeted in. So folks, you can tweet at Mark Steiner. You can call us at 410-319-8888. I know a lot of teachers and students are home right now. Give us your thoughts at 410-319-8888. The ice has kept you home or you're delayed before getting to school. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. You can log on to our Facebook pages as well, 410-319-8888. And Adam tweeted in, with a couple of things he tweeted. Let me see what he says here. Bear with me. That we should align our curriculum with our tests before having them go online. So the question is, and I really want to know what people think out there about this at 410-319-8888. I mean, here's the bottom line to me for all of you, which you were about to talk about, Cheryl, I think, what Jack was saying. Where's the disservice? Is it a disservice in not implementing this core project, core curriculum, and the tests so that kids, advantage and disadvantage, can begin to work out for the 21st century? Or is there another plan? And when you said in response to Jack that we're not in agreement about evaluation, what does that mean?
We are not in agreement. The Maryland State Department of Education is making unilateral decisions for locals, which is in usurping their power within the Education Reform Act, stating that a certain percentage of the state test needs to be part of the evaluation. And right now, it's a misaligned test, first of all.
What do you mean it's misaligned?
It's misaligned. So we are teaching – it would be if we were teaching French and testing on Spanish.
That's a big misalignment. But you're teaching math and it's being tested on math. What do you mean?
But we're teaching different standards. So,
which means what, literally?
Which means some have moved to third grade from fifth grade. Some have moved to sixth grade. So those standards, those skills that we would teach in a math class in fifth grade are not all the same now as to what's being tested.
Because the skills the Common Core demands are a different set of skills than the ones you've...
Yes, there's some overlap. It's not completely different. But as Jack pointed out, in math, there are some more disparities between what we were teaching under our voluntary state curriculum, which is what we've had for 10 years in Maryland, to what we're teaching now under the Common Core standards. And the difference when we transitioned into the voluntary state curriculum 10 years ago was it was voluntary for school systems to transition into it, and they had time to do that. This has basically become a stop your brakes and start teaching something different. And the curriculum just hasn't truly been developed thoroughly in the professional development. I mean, we've been surveying our teachers, and 80% are saying that there's still challenges out there. The curriculum's not in front of them. And teachers and principals are making it right for students. They're doing the best that they can right now. But we can do better, and it is a disservice to our students to just plow ahead because the federal government told us we have to do something, but we as the practitioners don't see what's the common sense thing to do for them.
Well, Jack, Cheryl, you and I know that the MSA test started before that curriculum, what was the voluntary state curriculum and switched to the Maryland state curriculum, was perfected. We started the tests, and we continued to refine the curriculum, and that's exactly what's going to happen here. And it's critically important when I say disparities for kids. One of the things that happens when you give a test, if it's perfectly aligned or if it has some misalignments, is it helps you know and understand what students know, but it also helps you know and understand what they don't know. And we can know some things, even if there's misalignment, as you said, between fourth and fifth grade math. Then next year, those teachers who are teaching fifth graders can look at the scores for that school district, all fifth graders in the state, and they can analyze and say, okay, because of this curricular shift, we're going to go back and pick up these skills because our kids aren't really solid in them. And that will help us know what kids don't know. And it's all without consequence because the accountability system during this transition has been frozen.
But is it fair or not fair to say that the Maryland State Department of Education is kind of making these unilateral, it feels as if, making unilateral decisions now for local school systems on their evaluation systems, and that some people have argued, and I've seen them argue, and I've heard people write to me about this, that that's not how the Education Reform Act works, that that's not even necessary. I mean, is there something else afoot, or is there a subtext we don't understand as to why this is happening then?
Well, I worked in a local school system when those decisions were made, and I understand them, very well and at the nuanced level. And the issue is that the state of Maryland engaged in the Race to the Top grant application and committed to these evaluation processes, then re-engaged in the elementary and secondary education flexibility process and re-engaged. The General Assembly changed the law. The state board wrote regulations. All that is completely within the purview of the lawmakers and the board members. And all this has been under discussion and in work since 2010. In fact, the last three summers, we've had a team from every single school, virtually, I will say, every single school in the state, because there might be one or two out there that didn't participate for some reason. They've joined together in summer institutes to work on the Common Core, to work on the changes in instructional strategy. So the last three summers, literally thousands of teachers have come together across the state, teams with administrators in the summer to look at this. And when you get to the crunch time in something, there's always a lot more anxiety. I mean, we have lots of examples of that in our society where things roll along for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years. And then when we reach the crunch time, people become very concerned, and that's what's happened.
Let me go back to Shelby. One of the things I just throw in here, and Shelby, you can pick up, is that, but the thing I think is grabs most people's attention here, Jack Smith, and I'll let Shelby go first, you can come back, is that you have the largest organization representing teachers in the state saying, let's just have a different plan to do this and put it in incrementally. And the vast majority of school superintendents going, we're not ready. These are men and women who run our county school systems who know whether or not they are ready to implement something that often disagree with their teachers, but not everyone seems to be aligned, which is not often common to have teachers and administrators aligned. So but there's something afoot here that's beyond what it seems to me the state is saying that we have to do because Arne Duncan says it has to be so, Cheryl.
When the Education Reform Act was passed, one of the key provisions is that the state board sets general standards for the evaluation, but the county boards of education, in agreement with their local associations, set specific performance criteria. It's in the law. It remains in the law. And this is one of the problems that we have, is that the state then wrote a grant and disrespected that law. And they went through and they decided what the criteria would be, and they've usurped the power of the locals. And now you're hearing from local boards of education, local superintendents, and our organizations throughout the state, and they're saying, wait, you can't make a blanket one-size-fits-all evaluation system, and you can't just force this down when we have financial stagnant financials throughout our state. So we have educators not getting raises. We have money that hasn't been able to be put into professional development and curriculum because many of our school budgets have been flat. And so all of this is coming at the same time, and the Maryland State Department of Education must have blinders on to say, hey, we're going to ignore all of these constituent groups and we're just going to go full steam ahead instead of really sitting at the table and coming up with concrete solutions to move forward, but at a pace that will help in those disparities, help close the achievement gap, and move our students ready for global competitiveness.
So, Jack, let me ask you, come in. We literally have like 5 minutes left in the segment, so I want to get both of you back in here. But, I mean, from what Cheryl was saying, and I do remember covering this before, that the state – wrote the grant that kind of took the power away from local schools around this issue and kind of which kind of changed the nature of the Education Reform Act. I mean, why did that happen? And people really feel like something else is going on here and they can't put their hands around it.
Well, actually, the 22 of the 24 superintendents signed the grant as well as their board presidents when the grant was submission. So it was very much a joint effort. When the grant was written, I will tell you, I signed on for the grant knowing that it was complex and that it was going to be different, and 21 of my colleagues did, too.
And the grant ends in September.
And then the Elementary and Secondary Education Act waiver came in after that, and Cheryl and I have sat together for hours and looked at this conundrum of the evaluation process and how it can be worked together as well as school board member representatives, student council representatives, teacher representatives, principal representatives, PTA representatives, looking at all of it. And I understand that Cheryl disagrees with the law, the way the law was interpreted in the regulation, and there are all sorts of processes by which that can be discussed. But as long as that's what's in place, the job of the Maryland State Department of Education is to implement the regulations and of the State Board and the laws of Maryland. And so it would be, it would be very odd for me to say MSD should not do something when clearly they should do it based on the regulations and the laws that have been set forth. And then if, as Cheryl disagrees, there are processes for her to respond to it with that disagreement. But she certainly has been, and she's a very good attender at all of our meetings. She comes to everything. We have lengthy discussions about these issues. And so I just really think that has to be on the table.
And we do have discussions about this. It's been made very clear to us, even though with all those discussions, that the State Board will make any final decisions. But I just want to put out there is a piece of legislation that has been put forth through the legislature to require the State Board of Education to follow state law. So for that piece of legislation to be put forth and to move through the legislature tells you that there is something afoot here, Mark. That
what is it you think that's afoot?
We are going after money and waivers from the United States Department of Education instead of really looking at our laws and what's good for
our
students.
Is this all bottom line about money?
I believe it has been about money. And we've been chased after that money, the $250 million grant for the Race to the Top, and now come any snowstorm, any blizzard, we're going to follow exactly what it says, whether it's in the best interest of our students or not. And we believe we can collaborate with the Maryland State Department of Education and these others if everybody is willing to say, let's look at this and let's move in the best interest. But we haven't seen that willingness to move away from these reforms.
So if things are turned, let's say says, okay, we have to put a different plan in place, we're not going to let this go ahead, does that mean we lose the money, Jack Smith? Is that what the problem is?
There would be the very serious risk of not just losing the Race to the Top grant, but other federal funds, because we all know there are many examples in our history when states have not complied with federal law, as the Elementary and Secondary Education Act is, and when they don't comply with it, it puts federal funds at risk beyond just any grants that have been received. Absolutely.
But there's an opportunity.
Final thought, Cheryl, from you.
Sure. There's opportunities to ask for amendments and waivers. We've seen throughout the country that states are getting amendments approved to divert some of the intentions that they originally set in the Race to the Top and ESEA waiver. Georgia is one of those that came to mind, that they had originally put in merit pay, and they're not doing merit pay. So they're only losing the portion of the money that would have gone to merit pay. So when we look across the country, people are getting amendments. They're working out resolutions to steer a little bit away from what their original commitments were.
So in the coming weeks, we will also talk to Maryland state legislators and see where they are with this issue. And, of course, invite all the parties back for this discussion as we continue it between now and the end of this vote in the legislature.
It's a dynamic process.
And we'll see what happens. And we want to thank Cheryl Bose, who's vice president of the Maryland State Education Association and has been an elementary school teacher for more than 20 years. Dr. Jack Smith, a former superintendent of Calvert County and now chief academic officer for the Maryland State Department of Education. Dr. Jack Smith, Cheryl Bose, thank you so much for being in the segment.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
You too. And we're breaking now with Ball of Confusion by the Temptations, written by the great Barrett Strong, born on this day in 1941. When we come back, we're going to continue talking about education, but focus now on Baltimore City Schools and the contract coming up between some dissident school union members, well, one, and the president of the union to talk about this contract. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
People moving in.